Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the Gospel of Luke, so find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, and find chapter 11. I'll be reading through chapters 11 and 12, taking some devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and closing in prayer. I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for a new day, and thank you for your word. Thank you for these chapters that remind us of things that Jesus did and said, and allows us to order our lives toward him. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 11, title says, Jesus is teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So apparently, John, known as John the Baptist, had taught those who followed him how to pray. And of course, he was leading them to be ready for the Messiah, for Jesus. Verse 2, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. I'll pause there just to mention if that sounds different than what you're used to. The different Gospels may look at the details here a little differently, but the other issue is in translations. Some of the manuscripts that translations go according to do or do not include certain words, so it's just a choice there, but the content is certainly the same. The spirit is the same. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the other one answers inside, don't bother me, the door's locked, already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't even get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Pause there for a moment to notice that in the prayer itself, you know, he says, pray this or say this. But I don't believe that God is saying these are the exact words you have to pray every time. Because throughout Scripture, there are many different kinds of prayers. And even Jesus really never prayed this particular prayer except when he was teaching his disciples to pray. I think giving them the elements of some attitudes and motivations and areas to pray about. And then even in this context, when he's talking about going and continuing to knock and ask for what you're asking, what you need to continue to do that, that idea is really not in the Lord's Prayer itself. He continues here, verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can this kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his house and possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an impure spirit comes out of a person and goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it, then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Pause there for a moment. So Jesus is casting out demons and talking about demons, and people are, the religious leaders are accusing him of, well, if he could cast them out, maybe that's because he's the prince of them, connecting him to Satan. Jesus teaches them that that is not true. But it's interesting also at the end of that, someone calls out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. You know, there's blessed mother type of prayers and people lifting up the Virgin Mary. And yet his response, verse 29, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. He's not saying his mother did not obey God's word. He's saying, why bless her? Let's focus on those who are obeying my word. All of them have equal blessing. Verse 29, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, this is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. So he is talking about himself, of course, and he's giving the prediction, the prophecy, that he will rise again after dying 3 days later. Verse 33, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it can be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him, so he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, true, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it. One of the experts in the law answered him, teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. Jesus replied, and you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves are not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that's been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts of the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely, and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. All right, well, this passage is a pretty good summary of what Jesus went through all the time. Questions from the Pharisees, insults from the Pharisees, taking offense, trying to get Jesus in trouble, trying to trap him. And Jesus, of course, expertly, and still calling them to it, you know, points out the truth. Chapter 12. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So he tells them, hey, fear the person, not that can kill your body, but that could kill your soul, that could send you to hell. And yet then he follows that up by saying, listen, I care for you so much. I know how many hairs are on your head. Verse 8, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of God will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. All right, now there's a variety of things here, some of them hard to understand. He doesn't go into a lot of detail. He includes some things here at the end saying, well, at the end of this part of chapter 12, believers, true believers are going to acknowledge that they know me when the time comes. They're going to publicly acknowledge me. Those who disown me are not believers. Now, keep in mind, there was a time when the Apostle Peter, kind of disowned him 3 times. So he's certainly not talking about just those areas of weakness that then doomed you. There's something else going on here, something deeper going on here. And he says, anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. That's the only time we kind of read that in the scripture, of something that can't be forgiven. And so the only thing we can do in the context of scripture is tie it back to salvation. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to him, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So someone's so concerned about their inheritance and how much money they're going to get, Jesus sees the heart of greed there. Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the young wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So he's saying, he's not saying, talking about every little situation that no one is in need. But he is saying, worrying's not going to help you. I'll provide for you. Trust in me. And he also says, basically, seek my kingdom first. Seek me first. I'll provide what you need for as long as you need it. Do not be afraid, verse 32, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house is known, at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. It kind of throws away all the theories people have of trying to figure out when Jesus is coming and what the signs of the times are. And he's really saying, be ready. I mean, 2,000 years ago, he said this, be ready every day for me to return. Verse 41, Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of him. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So again, not a lot of details, but at least the idea that maybe some will be more accountable than others, or at least they'll be accountable for what they had, opportunities they had, whatever it may be. There might be some different levels of punishment, it seems. Verse 49, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under it until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two against three. They will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Doesn't sound like, you know, what Jesus wants in families. But what he's saying here is, because of him, families will be divided. Verse 54, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going to your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you paid the last penny. Man, Jesus is just laying down a bunch of stuff here, isn't he? So you could really pull out a lot from these chapters. So I encourage you to go back through them and pull out something that you can focus on today. What am I going to focus on today? I think the area of worry. Now I admit that I at times struggle with worry. I'm continually talking to God about it. But what I'm finding in these days is everybody around me is focusing on worry. Not necessarily my immediate family here that I live with, but so many people are so worried about the future. So worried about what's going on in our world. And so I think for me, the first thing is I need to live at peace. I need to be at peace with God and peace with what he has allowed. Still seeking justice, still praying for people, loving on people, but at peace and not living in worry and anxiety. And that also means then that I need to help those in my church and my family and friends and neighbors and anyone I come across to also have that same peace. And that's what I'm going to pray for today. Father, there's much going on in our world for which people are worried and concerned and anxious. Father, help me to be at peace because my heart and mind is set on you and your kingdom. You're in complete control of this chaos that I'm experiencing in this world right now. And Father, I pray for your peace to all those who believe in you, trust in you, that they would show that and be that kind of light to those who are going crazy around them. You are God of peace, Father. And even though your word, your son, bring division based on truth, still in the midst of all the kind of chaos that comes and the attacks that may go against those who trust in you, we can still be at peace, no matter what is going on. Father, so help me today to seek your kingdom, to focus on you today, and to know that you will take care of the rest. In Jesus' name, amen.